I'm very happy to see everyone who is here this evening. And we'd like to continue the gospel meeting by reading in Acts chapter 4, please. Acts chapter 4. You've listened to a very, very solemn, powerful, searching gospel message. We trust what we have to say will not take away anything what has been said already. God may be dealing with you in your heart this evening, listening carefully, wanting to be saved, crying out to God from your heart that He'd show you the way to His salvation. This is what it's all about. There's nothing more important than knowing your sins forgiven and being ready for God's heaven. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In the book of Exodus, we have an account of the children of Israel leaving Egypt. And as they come across about 3 days' journey, they found themselves sandwiched in between the vast Red Sea with its powerful current and body of water, impossible for them to cross. And as they look back behind them, they see the soldiers of the Egyptians drawing near. As the people saw the situation and the circumstances in which they found themselves, they saw what we just listened to. There was no hope. This is an all-out emergency with no hope. They couldn't go forward. They couldn't go backwards. They were caught. The Bible says that they were sore afraid. In other words, they were terrified within their heart as they considered and contemplated the reality of what was happening to them. It would be our desire tonight that you would contemplate and meditate on the reality of the issue that is before you. Your sin. Your eternal destiny. The reality of meeting God without a Savior. And as they considered the situation, I try to put myself there. Wives hugging their husbands, maybe for the last time. Children, as they come to their parents and they realize, Mommy, Daddy, what are we going to do? Save us. For all their lives, the parents have protected them. The family has been gathering and preserved by Mom and Dad. And now Mom and Dad are powerless. There's nothing they can do to save you. There's nothing they can do to reverse what is about to happen. And the whole situation is in a disarray. And the cry from the people were these four words that we just read together. Neither is there salvation. Neither is there salvation. Would it grip your heart tonight to think that if God would have sealed the destiny of the human race the moment that Adam and Eve sinned, if He would have just said, now this is the end, I will deal no longer with mankind, and every last single individual that be born in this world will die and go out into a lost eternity. God could have sent a message down from heaven. And easily He could have wrote four words in that message. Neither is there salvation. A man gave me a gospel tract one time. It was in Spanish. It went like this. ¿Qué debo hacer para ir al infierno? What must I do to go to hell? You open the track. There's one word in it. Nothing. Nothing. What must I do to go to hell? Nothing. The Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I dare say there's not one person here that is an atheist. I dare say there's not one person here that would raise their fist against God. In every one of our hearts, there's at least a measure of the fear of God. But you know what the Bible says? There are many who neglect this salvation. They just go on living day after day, moment after moment, with the good intentions that the next time they'll get saved. Oh, how I played that game myself over and over again. I was too tired. I was concerned about what my friends would say. There was always going to be another time. I was neglecting so great a salvation. How long have you neglected the salvation that God offers to you? Some of you have been raised in the Sunday school. And you have a Sunday school teacher who has prayed for you and over and over and over again. You have parents who have prayed for you and probably wept tears for you. And as was in our case with our two boys, we prayed for them long before they were ever born into this world. And yet you still are in your sins. Not because you hate God. Not because you are just wanting to go die and take your chances and go to hell. You know it's the reality of this. You're still in your sins because you've just neglected. You've kept putting it off. This so great salvation. And here these people are, wedged in this condition, with absolutely no hope, like a vice. It's getting tighter and tighter and tighter. Every moment that slips by, their opportunities are gone. Neither is their salvation. Would have been the awful cry from their hearts. No hope. No hope. But God says there is hope. Notice the next three words. There is salvation. There is salvation. Oh, what a flood of relief. How it just causes the heart to rejoice. Life. There's opportunity. There's hope. And today, as we preach to you, we're happy to tell you that there is salvation. That salvation is found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a full, it's a complete salvation. For those people there in that wilderness, their salvation was by God opening up a path. The winds could blow throughout the night. And then there was a one path, one way, one path that allowed them to escape. God has provided a way of salvation in one person. But I want you to think about that salvation. What it cost him. The person who wrote the book of Hebrews said, he hath appeared to put away sin. How? How is this question about sin going to be put away? How is this situation that you find yourself in as a guilty person before God, and you have no way to rescue yourself, you have no way to cleanse yourself, and you can't turn to your mom and dad and say, "Mommy and Daddy, save me," because they can't. You can't go to your Sunday school teacher and say, "Help me." They can't. Who can? He has appeared, the Lord Jesus Christ, to put away sin. But oh, how is He going to put it away? By the sacrifice of Himself. No lesser sacrifice would do. The Old Testament, they used to bring animals. And those animals, the blood of those animals could not take away sin. They could only appease the wrath of God for a short period of time. But now God has sent His own Son, not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him, that you through Him might be saved. He has appeared. God sending His only Son. God manifested in human flesh. Perfectly God. Perfectly human. And as He moves across this scene of time, He has one mission in view. One place that always stood before Him. It's a place called Calvary. The cross was His destiny. Such was His love to sinners such as you and me. Nothing could deter Him. Nothing could cause Him to back away from what was His to do. All the way to Calvary, He went for me, we sometimes sang. He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Can you not see the work that the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished on that cross was the full payment of your sin? God is not looking over sin. He's not bypassing it. He dealt with the issue of sin in its totality. He caused His own Son to die because of sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ was there judged under the awful wrath of God. And He bore our sins in His own body on the tree. That's the way He could put away sin, to pay the full payment for sin. You know, sometimes when there's going to be an audit and people are concerned about what's there in the books, they do a little transaction they call cooking the books. They alter this and change that and try to make the bottom line come out at a certain figure to match something else. Well, I want to tell you, when it comes to dealing with your sins, God did not have to cook the books. There was no compromise. God dealt with your sins totally and completely through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ who died upon that cross. That's the reason why we preach a full and a complete gospel. He could cry, "Finished." Everything that God required about your sins, in order for God to offer you salvation, there is salvation. Everything He required was accomplished at the place called Calvary when the Lord Jesus Christ died for sinners. There's a young man coming to our meetings that my two sons and I were having, and first night I saw him, I realized that he had lived a very difficult and hard life. He sat in the meeting that night. I could see he was bitter. I went to him after the meeting. I put my arms around him and I said, "God loves you." He turned on me and he said, "Nobody loves me." I said, "God does." He said to me, "I'll never come back." The next night he did come back. And he came back and again and again and again, and he kept coming. After about 2 weeks of coming to these meetings, somebody laughed at him and asked him, "Why are you coming? You of all people, why you come to church?" And this is what he said, I'll never forget it. We had a two roads, two destiny chart hanging on the wall. He said, "Before I came to these meetings, I was not afraid to die. In fact, I wanted to die. But since I came to these meetings, I have been made aware of the fact that after death, there's a place called hell. And I don't want to die in my sins." That young man ended up getting saved in those meetings. What about you, friend? God does love you. There is salvation tonight for you. But will you take it, or will you neglect it? Will it be just another message? Or will you see that it's your destiny that's involved? I was talking to my mother the other day. She lives in a little town called Garneville, Iowa. She's telling me about a 19-year-old boy going down Highway 52, I think it is, there in front of the house. Texting while he's driving. He looked up too late. He ran in the back side of the back tire of a semi going the opposite direction. A man named John Cradle, that known to some of you here, saw it happen. And hit the back tire of that semi. And Mr. Cradle said, the car literally exploded. Gone. And so was the young man, just 19 years of age. For that young man, there's no more opportunity. Gone. But for you tonight, there is an opportunity. There is salvation. But since there is salvation, God makes it very clear that there is salvation in none other. Many people say, "Well, I want to be saved, but I'll be saved my own way, or any other will do." People in their hearts have the tendency to reject what God has provided. People would rather go it alone. We want to feel like I can accomplish it. We want to feel like we can do it. And God makes it very clear there's salvation in none other. Oh, my friend, it's the Lord Jesus Christ or it's no salvation. It's the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior or you'll be lost forever. We've been hearing about the judge. We've been hearing about the one who represents you before the judge. Agree with him. It is he and he alone that can save you. I was going to court last month, almost every day for quite a while, for a young man who's got himself into trouble. And you know the way they do it, and they just kind of randomly give you a defender. Well, he didn't get a very good one. His buddy, who he got in trouble with, got a better one. I want to tell you something. When it comes to God, there's only one. There's only one. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one God and one mediator. One person that can represent you. One God, one mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus. There is salvation. But it's through the Lord Jesus Christ and He alone. Then there's salvation, but it is in none other name. The only person that can save us today or save a sinner is the Lord Jesus. He's the only one that can provide you what you so desperately need. But it's in His name. The name that God has said that is above every other name. He's the one that we preach. For this is the gospel, the Apostle Paul could say, that Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again. He lives at God's right hand, according to the Scriptures. It is in that name. And yet, people blaspheme that name. People speak against him. I remember one time talking to a man. And as I was speaking to him about getting saved and about the Lord Jesus Christ, he stopped me one day. He said, "You speak about Jesus as if you think he's a person." I said, "Yeah, he is a person." He said, "I only heard his name used in another way. I never thought he was a person." The devil will do everything he can to bring that lovely name down to the dust if he could. But God has exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. Your destiny hangs in the balance tonight. Where you spend eternity will be determined by what you do with the Lord Jesus Christ. That name has behind it all the authority and all the power to save you or to condemn you. To save you not only in time but for eternity. Or to condemn you to a lost sinner's hell forever and forever. There is salvation. But there's salvation in only one name and in only one person. But notice there's salvation. It says under heaven. Salvation is only available while you're living here on earth. We've been hearing the warning of how you have no idea. You don't know when you're going to die. You don't know when it will be your last time. But that salvation is provided for you while you're here. And that salvation, it says, among man. There is salvation for boys and girls and men and women tonight. It's up to you whether you'll trust the Lord Jesus as your own and personal Savior. But notice, he says, since there is salvation, we must be saved. Since there is salvation available to you, friend, you must. There's no options. If you're going to be in heaven, if you're going to be with your mother and father who might be saved, or some other friend that you know that might be saved, possibly a brother and sister, you must. Oh, that this would just burn into your heart tonight. You must. You must be saved. I can't read these words without telling you a story, and I've told it before, I'm sure, here, but I'll tell it again. Young man, 22 years of age, coming to our meetings. He was in jail. By the time he got out of jail, they put a contract on him to kill him. One night I went around the neighborhood to pick people up and bring them into the meetings. He was there. I said to him, "Listen, young man, come to meeting with me tonight." He says, "I can't come tonight. I got business to do." But he said to me, "Tom, I plan on getting saved. And I want to be saved. But not tonight." I said, "Your choice, but I'd really like you to come." And that, with that, he walked away. After the meeting was over, I heard the sirens going by. And every time I hear the sirens going by, I always say, "Oh Lord, may it not be one of ours." But it was one of ours. When I came around, dropping off the people in the neighborhood, I was taken over to where this man was with the police cars and the cordoned off, everything, the alley where he was all cordoned off. I went over to the policeman and I said, "Who is it?" And he told me. I said, "I know him. Can I talk to him?" He said, "Go ahead." I stretched myself out on that alley and put my mouth up close to the ear of this man, unconscious now. The bullet had gone through his head. Calling him by name, I said, "You told me tonight you wanted to be saved. But you told me you had business to do. Oh, Hoppy, you must be saved." The paramedics came. took him away. I went over to the hospital. Went into the emergency room. And all I kept saying to him, Hoppy, you must be saved. You must be saved. Quietly, he slipped out into eternity. His last words to me were, Tom, I want to be saved. But not tonight. Is there someone here in this audience that wants to be saved? And you hear the little voice, not tonight. God tells you, now is the accepted time. Now, at this moment, is the day of salvation. Don't put it off until another night. There may not be another night. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ. There is salvation. Accept Him as your own personal Savior. And you can be saved even tonight. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank Thee for the message of the gospel. We thank Thee for the efficacy of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that Thou dost require, He did it. We thank Thee that He paid the price and He paid it in full. We thank Thee that He is the one who represents us before Thee. We are accepted in the Beloved. Oh, Father, how wonderful is the knowledge of sins forgiven. Our prayers are for those who are still outside of Christ, still in their sin. Speak to them, we pray. In Thy mercy, reach and save sinners tonight, we pray. We commit it all to Thee, asking Thy parting blessing. Take us to our homes in safety. May the Spirit of God continue to move upon the hearts of those who have listened. May there be nothing to distract from what has been said, for we ask it in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.